It's good for us to stop for a moment and to reflect together in a moment of thanksgiving. It's not a national tradition in this country, but it's good that we make it a national tradition in our church culture. It's also not overdone, is it? Matter of fact, I would confess myself that Thanksgiving is probably my weakest area of worship. We bring our lists of needs and we cry out to God as we battle through the days, but so often the Thanksgiving is skimpy. Is it not so, friends? And it ought not to be so. Because every day we have so much more than what we deserve. No reason to complain. If we think about also what our brother brought out in prayer this evening already, we sin daily. We challenge the God of heaven. We are a nation that in many ways is ultra-liberal compared to other nations in the world. Some African nations are very godly compared to ours. And look how they suffer, how they struggle. And we are living here in a nation that is so extremely beautiful, with a climate that's so pleasant, with a prosperity that most of us share a good portion of, with a all-around care when we are needy and weak or old and sick. I don't think that that's normal in many nations. A retirement package when we come to the golden years of life, it's not common in many nations. And still, we don't enough appreciate it. And so that's why it's good for us to just to pause for a moment in the busy demands of family and in the business of work and school and everything else. Sometimes everything gets squeezed and particularly this time for us to stop and count our blessings and to list them on your piece of paper in front of you. And to take every one of them and ponder them in the light of what we deserve. So this evening, just a few thoughts together from Psalm 8. Let's take that in front of us today as the theme for Thanksgiving. David wrote this short psalm, and he is apparently in his shepherd days, perhaps yet, because it looks like he is outside. He speaks about the heavens that he considers. So, no, it's not sure when he wrote it, but it is sure what he wants to write. He wants to take us from the beginning to the end into the theme, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. And it's clear that as he pens this psalm, he is no doubt also speaking to himself, but now also as a prophet speaking to us. He exalts the Creator. And he exalts the Provider. And must you not say, he is really excellent. His name, his character, by which he is made known, is excellent. His glory is so praiseworthy. Now if you read verse 3, and he's looking in the far heavens and he sees the star and he sees the moon and he sees far less than what we can see today. Far less. He had no telescopes. Oh, he had to do it with his bare eye. And as we look today in these infinite distances, we see so much more. And look what he says. It's the work of his fingers. It's the work of God's fingers. This majestic universe in which the sun and the moon and the stars praise Him? We just read it in Psalm 148. How do they praise Him? How does the sun praise God? How does the moon praise God, children? How do stars praise God? They do it simply by doing what they're called to do. To shine. Or to reflect. And yeah, they do that mindless, we realize. But in doing what they were created to do, they praise God. They cheer the darkness. They cheer the day. They guide the travelers. They serve the old mariners, sailors on the ocean. And still today, they serve the birds. As every bird that migrates does so by the stars and the magnetic poles. Little do they realize, but all that is praising God. Now the Almighty still guides the universe too. Yeah, we take the moon and the sun for granted, my friends. But we ought not. What would our world be like, and what would our season have been like? And how much would we have grown, and how much would we have prospered without the sun rising every day? And what would the world be like without the influences of the moon? I'm no scientist, so I'm not speculating here. But they're not there without a purpose. No tide in the world would ever take place without the moon. And what an incredible advantage is the constant tide of the oceans. Now, all that is God's care, God's providence, and God's glory. Oh, how excellent is thy name. And yet David's main focus in Psalm 8 is not what God does in and above in the heavens. His main focus is verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Let's for a moment ponder on that verse. We were all God's masterpiece. We were made the lords of the earth. In verse 6, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. We were the lords of the nation, of the world. We were the managers. We were given the dominion over all the animals and over all aspects of this creation. Caretakers. That's what we are. Not possessors. Caretakers. We're all having our little slice of this earth. Some bigger, some smaller. But we're all our caretakers of what God created. I delight in that. I think it's exciting to have a little portion of God's creation that I can take care of. I have a really small one. It's just the yard that I live in. And that's one of my hobbies. But really, I don't see it as a hobby. I see it more than that. I see it as the God-assigned task of a little slice of the earth. Now then, I have a different task, which is taking care of a ministry. I delight in that. I'm caretaker. Just you are too. You're a farmer, you're a machinist, or an engineer, or you're an office worker, or you're an accountant, or what else you are here. You're a caretaker of a little bit of God's earth, of a little task that He wants you to do. And it must be our joy to fulfill this task, and to manage it, and to build up what we have, and to develop it, and to do something with it. Not for our own advantage. Ah, here we go astray, don't we? It's mostly about our comfort. Isn't it? It's mostly about my, maybe, increase. Ah, that's not why I got that task. It's not just for my selfish image. No, that's not what it was for, was it? It was to manage it for Him. Somehow, that when I work, or when I labor, or when I manage, I do it to the glory of the God who creates everything and owns everything. And I do it for the well-being of our neighbor and maybe needy neighbors and weak ones. Here we fail, congregation. That's how it all went wrong in Genesis chapter 3. And we rebelled against the task and we pulled the curse over every aspect of our creation. And now some of our tasks are not quite so delightful. Some of the pumpkins rotted on the field. And some of the cows are not in calf. And sometimes the grass doesn't quite grow as well. And sometimes the project just falls apart. Yeah. And we grit our teeth and we get a little frustrated. With what? Now, with what goes wrong. Now, hold on. Who's the cause of what goes wrong? That's me. It's you. It's us. You see, that's how we need to kind of remind ourselves. And then we brought the curse and everything, but then look at verse 4. Now, what is man, Lord, that thou art mindful of him? It's about God, my friend, not about us. What is man, this man that thou created, that thou gave the dominion, that fell and rebelled? What is he that thou art mindful of us? Mindful. That means he doesn't forget us. He remembers us. Even though we forget him, and even we don't forget our purpose, and even though New Zealand at large forgets why it exists, he's mindful. Paul said to the people in Lystra, what is true for us? And what did Paul say to Lystra? Those people weren't aware of that. And maybe a lot of them today are not aware of it either anymore. Paul says, in times past, God suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good. And he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. He still does that. I enjoyed my supper tonight. He filled my heart with gladness with what we had on our table and on our plate. He is mindful to provide me something. Even though I don't deserve it, I deserve just as many others in the world. Nothing to eat. The famine in the world is massive. Did you know that? There are billions of people in the starvation mode in this world. And that's only a rising crisis with Ukraine at the moment. The breadbasket for most of the world. Well, what is going to happen there this year? We don't know yet. And that's only going to increase. And who's going to suffer? Well, maybe not New Zealand as much, but the poor countries that are already suffering. They'll feel the brunt. They've got nothing to pay when the prices are hiking up. See, we are being thought of by God. He is overloading us with bounties freely given. Are we any better than Ukraine? That's not a godly country, not by any means. But we're free from war. We've had no funeral in this church ever since I came here 2 years ago nearly. The Grim Reaper has taken none of us. Not even through COVID. Anyone got into the hospital. Lord, thou hast been so mindful of us. Isn't he wonderful, this God? We are not fleeing homes. Most of us, if not all of us, still have work. Some of us experienced some loss, but nothing like Ukraine or Madagascar or Myanmar or other countries. Our loss is nothing to speak of. Lord, what is man? What am I? Let's put your own name in there. What am I? That thou art mindful of me. Of me. Are we always so mindful of him? Did I honor him and do you honor him with a devotional recognition for each bite I eat? For each dollar I earn, for each time I again arrived safely, or for each time I woke up and my body is good or feels well, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then that second verse, part of that verse. What is man? What is the son of man that thou visitest him? And now, let's not only think about providential things. Sun, rain, beautiful, food, drink, strength, health, blessings. All that is true. But that thou art visiting him. Every Sunday, Jesus walks here. He walks in your house as you read the Bible. He visits us personally. Now, we don't think of that, do we? But he visits us personally. What is the Son of Man, Lord? What am I that thou visitest me? He stands at our door and he knocks. We read that text on Sunday, even. He speaks to us. Isn't that wonderful? How many millions today have never had a visit of God through the Word as you and I have had? What is man? What am I, Lord? Who am I that thou art so blessing me and visit me, speak to me? Congregation, not only is he just speaking to us, no, greater than that, the Son of God himself came into this world and made himself a little lower than the angels. Look at verse 5. Thou hast made him. Who? Well, the Son of Man. At last Adam. He visited the earth, didn't he? The Son of God, he came in the flesh and he clothed himself in the likeness of human flesh. And he didn't come for a tourist. He didn't come to just walk on the earth to enjoy. He came to visit us. And he came to bring us. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And to give his life on the shameful cross as a cursed transgressor, imputed with the sins of his people. He visited us. How many times has he visited you? When he warmly invites you and he personally calls you, when he genuinely and sincerely reminds us, I'm here, come unto me. All you that are heavy laden and labor in this fallen world with your curse on your heart and in your life. Is he not worthy to be praised with reverence deep? O Lord, our Lord, he ends the psalmist, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Friends, why all these favors? Why all these blessings? Why all this goodness? Why all the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Only one answer. Because the Lord our Lord is excellent. Because he is great. And that's why this evening it's so fitting and so wonderful that we are able to be together for a moment to render to him at least, maybe more than the calves of our lips. Let's go farther. And what are now the best sacrifices tonight? Not the pretty words, not all the things we say. Now, broken heart and humbled spirit. A mindset that says, Lord, what am I that thou art mindful of me? And who are we that thou dost visit us? Amazing, isn't it? The grace of God. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 to 16, let me conclude with this. Let us listen to those words of God's And he says, by him, by Christ, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And that first, thanksgiving in praises to God through the high priest. But he goes on with one other verse, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's do also thanksgiving in the deeds to the needy. Yeah? Do good and communicate, forget that not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Amen.